And this is Reverend Joseph C. Zagin. I am so happy that I can reach you in your home, and thank you for allowing me to come into your home. I pray today would be a blessed day, and our hearts would be open to the Word of God. It is not the sound so much of my voice, but the power and efficacy of His spoken word. I thank you. God bless you all for listening. Today I would like to talk to you on disobedience versus obedience. And I want to take it from Jonah, the book of Jonah. I just wanted to share with you something. See, two men were called. One obediently went, and the other disobeyed and flee. The fruits of obedience is better than sacrifice. For the Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the fruit of the land. Because of obedience through Christ, we can celebrate Christmas with joy and sing joy to the world, the Lord has come. It is such a great thing to say. Disobedience breeds sorrow, sadness, pain, sickness, sin, and death. It does. The Lord summoned Jonah, and I will read here. Now the word came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose, flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish. Listen. Hold on a second. Jonah tried to get away from God and hide from God. But we have to understand, as the psalmist says in Psalms 139, verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thee? So if you make up your bed in hell, the Lord is going to find you. If you're in the grave, he's going to find you. There is nothing or anyone go unnoticed without God knowing. Are you kidding me? Nothing. You see, what we have to understand here is, why did Jonah disobey God? Why? Jonah had really loved God. He revered God. And he knew the mercies of God. And he feels for the way God has been treated the Ninevites. God does not deserve the treatment from them. They start to rebel and cuss and turn up their noses and everything against God. Jonah deliberately disobeyed God in order for destruction to come upon the Ninevites. That was his plan. Jonah was like a butcher. He likes to see blood. He likes to see all the... He was like the vampire. He loves blood because of all the goodness that God done to those people. They turned their back on God. So he thought he could have held back God's wrath. I mean, make God held his way, half his way, and hide so that God would destroy the Ninevites. Hear this. So when Jonah says that he prayed from the bowels of the fish, he shows first with what courage of mind he was endued. He had then put on a new heart. For when he was at liberty, he thought that he could in a manner escape from God. Jonah now became a fugitive from the Lord. But now, while enclosed within narrow bounds, he begins to pray and of his own accord sets himself in God's presence. Well, when you disobey an order or a command, you will have to pay the consequences, and especially from God. It is always a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Please, no one should ever try that. If God calls you to go, you should be proud to be called by God. Not a lot of people have been called by God. And to be called by God is a divine honor. This prophet Jonah, he knew that. He saw many miracles in his day. And I understand where he was coming from. But to disobey a divine order is better you not being born. This is a change worthy of being noticed. And hence we may learn how much it profits us to be drawn back often as it were by cause, or to be held tied up with fetters, because when we are free, we go astray here and there, beyond all limits. Yes, Jonah, when he was at liberty, became, as we have seen, wanton. But now, finding himself restrained by the mighty hand of God, he receives a new mind and prays from the bowels of the fish. Oh, man, what a time. Please, my friend, if ever you hear his call, his voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart whenever you hear the voice of the Lord calling. Jonah runs away because he cannot resolve two contradictions between the categorization of prophecies that do not come to pass as false prophecies and the revocation of the verdict against Nineveh in response to its repentance, and between the concept of God as unchanging and resolute, and his attribute of compassion and forgiveness. Nevertheless, the Lord compels him to prophesy against Nineveh, to teach him the paradoxical nature of true prophets who foretell punishment to make it unnecessary. Oh my God. Jonah knew that he has to carry out God's plan. But how was it that he directed his petitions then to God, by whose hand he saw that he was so heavily pressed? For God most rigidly handled him. Jonah was in a manner doomed to eternal ruin. The bowels of the fish, as we shall hereafter see, were indeed to him as it were hell or the grave. But in this state of despair, Jonah even gathered courage and was able to retake himself directly to God. It was a wonderful and almost incredible example of faith. So look now, let us then learn to weigh well what is here. Let us do that. Let us then learn to weigh well. For when the Lord heavily afflicts us, it is then a legitimate and seasonable time for prayer. But when we know that the greater part despond and do not usually offer their prayers freely to God, except their minds be in a calm state. And yet God then especially invites us to himself when we are reduced to extremities. Let this then, which Jonah declares of himself, come to our mind, that he cried to God from hell itself. And at the same time, he assures us that his prayer proceeds from true faith. For he does not simply say that he prayed to Jehovah, but he adds that he was his God. This is something to look at. It is something to look at. It is something to really study. You see, Jonah fleeing from his command really thinks that he got away from God. You see, the book of Jonah affirms God's freedom, sovereignty, and power. God is sovereign because he is the creator of everything. His power extends over all creation. The storm, the fish, the vine, the worm. God is free, and he can never be bound by human misconceptions. The self-righteous make the grave mistake of rejoicing only in their own deliverance and in answers to God's prayer. They miss out by narrowing God's grace and mercy to themselves. Like Jonah, they cannot share in God's delight in saving the sailors and the city of Nineveh. They could not understand that, including infants and even animals. He couldn't see that God would have mercy on them, or they sharing in the mercies of God. They confess that God is creator and king of the whole cosmos, but restrict his involvement in judgment, justice, and retribution. In this manner, they do not see his acts of compassion, righteousness, and forbearance. The Lord's final proclamation to Jonah in Jonah 4, 10 and 11 sums up the prophet's message of the book. God is free to bestow his mercy on anyone and anywhere he will. His concern and mercy extends to all creation. While Jonah was praying anxiously for his personal deliverance, the sailor had already been experiencing the love of God for 3 days. Likewise, the people of Nineveh, who repented of their sins, rejoiced that the impending judgment had not come. But Jonah, however, was miserable. So miserable that he just set himself aside. As we laugh at him, we may need to wince at ourselves. Jonah's silly sin is finally no laughing matter. We are condemned along with him if we share in his provincial folly. When he realized that God was really handling situation and forgiving these people, he became really annoyed. He was a very reluctant missionary. Sometimes the prophets of the Lord try to challenge God's wisdom in calling them for divine service. And you can see Moses in Exodus, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 1. However, Jonah is the only case in the record scriptures where a true prophet of the Lord tried hard to thwart the will of God by fleeing from the task that God had given them. In contrast to Elijah's obedience to the Lord, Jonah tried to go as far as he could in the opposite direction from where God had commanded him. Jonah hoped that Nineveh would get just what it deserved. Remember, I said so before. He felt that Nineveh deserved destruction because they were a bunch of ingrates. God had worked with them, fed them, do everything for them, and forgive them of all the whatever make them prosperous, and then they're turning up their fingers and their nose against God. And Jonah realized, and he says, Lord, I revere thee, and you mean to tell me all this is happening? I told you before this was going to happen, and now you're going to have mercy upon these people. He was afraid that if he announced judgment, the people of Nineveh might respond in a manner that would prompt God to change his mind. So in an attempt to restrain God from being merciful to his national enemies, Jonah skipped town. He took flight. He flee. He disappeared. But here the psalmist again in Psalms 139:7. Where shall I go from thy spirit? Or where shall I flee from thee? There is something humorous in this song. How could a prophet of God hide from the creator of the universe? How? How? The location of Tarshish may have been the southeast coast of Spain, maybe somewhere around in that area. In any case, it represents the farthest place known to the people of the ancient Israel. It is also similar to going to the ends of the earth. But yet, there is also something frightening here. Were a prophet of God directly to disobey the sovereign God, he might place not only himself, but others connected with him in dire jeopardy. Sadly, Jonah was not on a mission of mercy if he had achieved his goal. He was, in a way, an anti-missionary, one who retreated and one who resisted God's call to go to the nations. The repetition of the words from the presence of the Lord emphasizes Jonah's attempt to remove himself as far as possible from his service to the Lord. When we remember that the people of Israel were not a maritime people, but rather had a great fear of the sea, Psalm 93, we are all the more amazed at Jonah's risky action. That was a big risk. The guy ran there. Jonah's natural aversion to the ocean was overcome by his greater distaste for the thought that Nineveh might escape God's threatened doom. But thankfully, God did not allow Jonah to succeed. So there is something reassuring here as well. God accomplished his work despite the resistance of his reluctant Jonah. He tried to disappear. Jonah tried to seek disaster on the people of Nineveh. Yeah. That is exactly what he did. Though Jonah then was not only like one dead, but also on the confines of perdition, he yet believed that God would be merciful. See, he knows. He believed that God would be merciful if he fled to him. We hence see that Jonah prayed not at random, as hypocrites are wont to take God's name in their mouths when they are in distress, but he prayed in earnest, for he was persuaded that God would be propitious to him. But we must remember that his prayer was not composed in the words which are here repeated. But Jonah, while in the bowels of the fish, dwelt on these thoughts in his mind. Hence, he relates in this song how he thought and felt. And we shall see that he was then in a state of destruction, as our minds must necessarily be tossed here and there by the temptation. For the servants of God do not gain the victory without great struggle. We must fight, and indeed strenuously, that we may conquer. Jonah then, in this song, shows that he was agitated, great trouble and hard contest. Yet, this conviction was firm fixed in his heart, that God was to be sought. I would not be sought in vain. And he is ever ready to bring himself to his people whenever they cry to him. He realized that. He realized that, and that is, he know God is merciful, and he felt that the Ninevites does not deserve forgiveness or pardon. So then he says, I cried when I had trouble to Jehovah, and he answered me. So Jonah no doubt relates now, after having come forth from the bowels of the fish, what had happened to him, and he gave thanks to the Lord. So this verse contains two parts. Jonah in his trouble fled to God, and the latter part contains thanksgiving for having been miraculously delivered beyond what flesh could have thought. I cried, he says, in my distress to Jehovah. I cried out from the bowels of hell. Thou hast heard my voice. Jonah, as we shall hereafter see, direct his prayers to God, not without great struggle. He contended with many difficulties, but however great the impediment in his way, he still persevered and ceased from praying. He now tells us that he had not prayed in vain, and that he might amplify the grace of God. He says, from the bowels of the grave, he mentioned distress, Augustium straightness, and the first clause. But here more clearly expresses how remarkable and extraordinary had been the kindness of God, that he came forth safe from the bowels of the fish, which were like the bowels of a grave. I was sure derived from corruption. It's called a grave by the Hebrews and the Latin translators. What are the bowels of the grave? Even the inside or the recesses of the grave itself. When Jonah was in this state, he says that he was heard by the Lord. It may be proper to repeat again what I have already slightly touched, that Jonah was not so oppressed, though under the heaviest trial, but his petitions came forth to God. He prayed as if it were from hell, and not simply prayed. For he, at the same time, sets forth his vehemence and ardor by saying that he cried and cried aloud, distress, no doubt, extorted from Jonah these urgent entreaties. However this might have been, he did not howl, as the unbelieving are wont to do, who feel their own evils and bitterly complain, and yet they pour forth vain howling. Jonah here shows himself to be different from them by saying, that he cried and cried aloud to God. He cried. And I want to thank you today that you listened to my voice. You heard what I said about obedience and disobedience. Obedience of Christ coming to the cross. And we can ask in the Christmas. And disobedience by Jonah caused anguish and pain, sickness and death. Study what I said, and may God richly bless you. And have a Merry Christmas, and keep Christ in Christmas. And Christ is the reason for the season. May God bless you. Amen.